Hello and welcome to 23, the podcast for young, sharp-tongued and fucking fabulous people who love to talk shit.
From the overthinkers and oversharers to the fearful and the fearless, from friendships to social injustice to being ghosted when you least expect it, we got you covered.
You'll be joined by me, Kelsey Menzies.
And me, Bella Rutherford.
The views discussed in this podcast are exclusively our own. We are not experts and we are certainly not claiming to be. We wanted a space to discuss, critique and analyse the good, the bad and all the shit in between that comes along with being in your 20s. So enter podcast 23. Today is an interesting one and yep, a bit personal. We're talking love, dating and relationships from a single perspective, that's you Bella, and a taken perspective, which is me, Kelsey. And we thought the best way to do that, well, grill each other on our very, very different dating stories. Let's get to it. Hi, hello.
What? Yes, that's how you say hello in 2020 with Kelsey Menzies.
Hi, Belle.
Hi, Kels. What's going on? Tell me all about your week, fortnight. How's it been? What's been happening?
I've just been really fucking busy. I feel like that's just going to be my, you know, just my description of my life for the next, till I finish uni pretty
just
much.
Just your constant state of being for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, just busy. Some exciting things have happened. I think like the pro of my week, fortnight actually, would be getting through to the second rounds for a job that I applied for, which was really unexpected, which was nice.
We all expected it. It was just Kelsey that it was unexpected for.
Yeah, well, not confirmed. I mean, nothing's confirmed yet. And yeah, you never know what happens, but it would be a great opportunity and yeah, so that
was exciting.
Yeah, that was a high. I'm not trying to get my hopes up too much because I am being realistic about it.
But still also like being excited in yourself that you got through and having that nice little chunk of external validation that you are actually good at what you do, thank God.
It's just, it's good practice. I feel like, I don't know how we've gone through our whole schooling careers and no one's ever told us how to answer questions for an interview or, you know, respond in a professional manner. Like, how the fuck have we never learned that? I feel like that's like, well, I mean, it's the same, it's the age old thing. Like, we don't even learn taxes in school.
I literally had this conversation with somebody today and had a huge complaint about like learning life skills at school and how many gaps there are and you leave, scramble and just do your best because you don't learn what should be taught.
No, what about you? How's your week been?
My week has been actually quite delightful. I finished uni for the foreseeable future, i.e. the next few weeks, which is delightful.
That is very foreseeable.
Yeah.
But good enough.
I'm just going to pretend that next trimester doesn't exist as of yet and I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I went to Bowral for a night with one of my friends, which was absolutely wonderful, and we went horse riding. Damn. Which is just so pleasant, being on a horse.
Yeah, Nathan fucking hates horses.
Okay, seriously, Old Town Road by Lil Nas was in my playing in my head on repeat the entire time, which kind of ruined the serenity ever so slightly. However, I did enjoy it.
Yeah, well, speaking of Lil Nas, I didn't know this. I mean, I'm doing a story about TikTok at the moment, but I didn't know that Lil Nas, he became famous through TikTok.
What?
Yeah, his song Old Town Road started on TikTok and then it got traction as people started dancing to it, like dressing up in the cowboy suit thing.
I saw all those TikToks, like in schools, they were playing it and everyone would get up on stage and all the kids would dance to it together. I just didn't realize that was the reason it got famous.
Yeah, and then after it got famous on TikTok, then he recorded it with Billy Ray Cyrus and then it really, it surpassed TikTok and then just like took over the world.
That's so cool. It shows the power of social media.
Yeah.
That it can turn one song from a nothing into... It was on the Billboard charts for like
19 weeks in a row, but he still didn't win the Grammy. Was it the Grammy? Yeah, well, that's a whole nother thing about like the music industry has some issues that they need to face. Bella, what are we talking about
today? We are talking about the wonderful world of dating and the shit world of dating because it is both really fun and very unnecessary at the same time.
Yeah, well, we both come from like very different dating backgrounds.
Yeah.
Dating backgrounds, dating stories. We have very different dating
histories.
Histories.
That's a good
word. I like stories better.
His stories. We just blended them together.
Yeah, maybe that's what we should call this segment. His stories.
His stories, like high stories.
Yeah, but then
like
it sounds
high,
like
high low stories.
But then it sounds like his stories. It's not his story. It's she stories.
It's dating
her
she stories.
Her stories.
Dating shit stories. Like shit stories.
We need to stop trying to make up names for things because it's just not going down.
I really like this thought process though. It's just going to end up like us
somewhere
45 minutes later coming up with random words.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's no secret that Gen Zs and millennials are taking longer to grow up. From the 1990s to this point, there's been like a radical shift in how we
grow up. Enter the world.
Yeah. I mean, look at our grandparents and even our parents, majority of our parents still live by the narrative of you go to high school, you meet someone either at high school or very shortly after, you find a job, you get married and have babies, and then that's your life.
Worst nightmare.
Oh, something I found really interesting about this is that there's been like a generational shift in dating ideologies. And one of the thing that kind of like encapsulates that is that whole idea of make yourself happy. And something I found really interesting was between 1990 and 2008, that phrase, make yourself happy, more than tripled in American books and in Google Books database.
I'm so not surprised by that at all. Yeah,
that phrase was never really a thing before the 19... I mean, it was, but it wasn't as prominent. It wasn't
used as widely as it is now. Yeah,
I mean, I feel like that's the biggest thing that we talk to our friends about is...
It's like a mantra. You're living by something. Like, that's a mantra that you, like, both preach and practice and you try and live by.
Put yourself first. And there's also that idea that you can't love somebody else until you learn how to love yourself, which is something that's come up for me a lot, which we'll talk about later. But Bella,
tell me,
give me like a little sum up of, let everybody know how your dating life has been thus far. It's like Shakespeare over here.
It's
a great word.
Okay. I love it. So my dating life has been fun. I have pretty much been dating since I was, what, like 12?
12.
Had my first boyfriend. If my first boyfriend's mom is listening to this, I love you. So I've been dating since I was in year six and had probably like six or seven boyfriends at this point, all with space in between. And obviously the younger ones not really being like
there
proper.
Wasn't that much space in between.
There was space. You just forget that there was space because time flies and we all have very warped senses of history. However, we can have that argument later. But yeah, so had quite a long-term boyfriend in high school, in the last few years of high school, and then leaving high school, which was amazing for me learning about like who I am and what I want and what I'm not willing to put up with, and helping me navigate through my youth. I always reflect on it in a way that I think it was really beneficial for me. It gave me access to understanding the complexities of human beings and how I wanted to be treated, what I really wanted in my life, what I was ready for, what I wasn't ready for. Because when you're younger, you tend to jump the gun quite a lot and push forward into this idea of like planning for the future really quickly, which I think for me is something that I have to just stop doing.
And what about now? How is your dating life now?
My dating life now is relatively non-existent currently.
It is. Like, you put yourself, you do.
Because of coronavirus, the last few months have definitely been, it's been on the back burner. But I do actively, like, go out and seek connections with people. Mm. However, I haven't met anybody yet.
Worthwhile.
Well, not that I haven't met them, but just that it hasn't translated into a relationship that I've been, like, interested in pursuing, you know?
Interesting. So maybe you have met the guy, he's just an asshole.
Yeah, pretty much. No,
you do tend to go for assholes.
Yeah, I know. I have a type.
You do have
tall,
a type.
Tall, dark and dickhead.
Yeah, for damn you hit the nail on the head.
Okay, Kels, insight into your dating life.
Into my
this
dating
is what Kelsey
life.
Hates. I can see her blushing already, guys.
I hate it. I like am such a cringy person. I'm like cringy to the point where I can't watch awkward scenes on television because I would just curl up and die almost. So yeah, my sister loves to make me feel extra cringy by telling me about her extensive collection of vibrators, which, you know what? I mean, I like to talk about, just not when it's really coming out of my sister's mouth in the way that she says it.
I really like doing that to you too. I love bringing up this.
Like, I like talking about it.
I love talking about sex to Kelsey because she really wants to be involved. You can see her.
Yeah,
she's really present and she wants to be like actively being a part of the conversation, but she'll let you just take the reins.
No, it's more like,
and add in her little tidbits.
First of all, it depends how many glasses of wine I've had. And second of all, I like having the conversations. It's just my innate reaction is to cringe. And not okay, cringe is not the right word. My innate reaction is to blush. I just blush because I feel like I am a 12-year-old sometimes. I feel like my mentality is still getting comfortable with these conversations.
They're really difficult conversations to have. It's not something that, I mean, it comes...
Well, I've been very disconnected from, especially in terms of dating and like not sexuality, but just being a sexual being. I've been very disconnected from my own body, and I still find it really hard to look at myself as like a sexy or sexual being. And so I find it hard to talk about, not hard, I just find it a bit, it's not in my comfort zone to talk about these things. But you, however, you are more than willing to have those conversations, which is a fantastic thing to be around. But, and it's good because you challenge me in that way. But I think that's the main reason why we have such different approaches, because you're very comfortable in your skin. And whereas I have struggled my whole life to feel comfortable in my skin.
I don't think I'm as comfortable as lots of people think I am. I practice being comfortable to make myself more comfortable. Like, it's something that I actively go out of my way to do to help myself be better at it. And I also think that being uncomfortable in your body is so fucking common.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever met one girl that has been like, yes, I feel 100% on all of the time and I am a fucking 10.
I think
it doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen, but it definitely is more of an issue. There are like differences with how people how it affects people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, I never really dated in high school except for like a very brief moment where like my heart got smashed into like a million tiny pieces.
I remember that day. Remember sad. I bought you cake.
You did bring me cake.
Kelsey called me like and yeah. I was like, I have a cake and I am coming over. Somehow managed to have a cake sitting at my house that day already. Yeah. To rock and roll.
Yeah, that sucked. So that was a really fucking shitty experience. Like, that was like the first ever heartbreak, like full heartbreak, first love, first heartbreak. That was also at a time when HSC was happening. My dad was diagnosed with liver cancer. I mean, that came after, but it's still like, it still hurts. I feel like it takes years to get over your first love.
100%. I don't think you can ever fully get over it. I think you can like learn to live with it, but I don't think you can fully ever be like that. Yeah. I'm done with that forever now.
Yeah, I mean, even now, like, I still think back to those times. And sometimes, you know, something will just, like, pop into your head. And your initial reaction is to be mad that your brain is bringing up stupid shit. But also, it's very natural. And you have to kind of, like, give yourself a bit of a, like, yes, you're being illogical, but this is how your brain works.
Yep.
So the prospect of actually dating, like, always frightened me. And like I said before, like, because I was never had a strong connection with my own body, the thought of putting myself out there just frightened me to death. Like, I was very insecure, and so I never really dated. I mean, I tried the whole Tinder thing for shits and gigs, but I was, especially when I moved away to Newcastle, but I had this irrational fear that I was going to bump into somebody in real life, and that
has happened to me.
That makes me want to vomit. Like, I cannot think of anything
worse
than that.
The vomit noise.
Oh, I do not want to do that. So, yeah, all of my sexual encounters were always, albeit, like, I haven't had as many dating experiences.
A plethora of, yes.
Yeah, you've had a lot of dating experience. I've only had a few, but they've always been friends first. I've never just been able to have, like, a one-night stand or be able to go through lots of guys somewhat frequently. You know, I've never been that type of person. Maybe
you're making you sound like
I sound like a prude. I'm
and
not
me
a prude.
Like a slut.
Yeah, you're not at all. You're not
it's
at
just,
all. We just have very
it's these
different,
like, weird social categories that we put women into that are ridiculous because there's no right or wrong way to date.
Yeah, I'm not a prude. I'm just haven't had
much experience. But our experience is different.
Yeah, but
also, it doesn't necessarily like mean that you haven't learned what I've learned or I haven't learned what you've learned. You know what I mean? I think that there's, even though our experiences have differed quite a lot, we've still been progressing at a similar rate.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I met my now longtime boyfriend Nathan, who he's been brought up a lot.
Shout out to Nae Nae.
Yeah, hey.
I can feel the love through that. Hey.
Hey. Well, we've been dating for 4 years now. Like, that's a huge chunk of time.
Especially for somebody that never thought that they were gonna really had never like dabbled in boyfriends.
Yeah, exactly. I think technically Nathan and I met through Tinder. technically. Well, I'll tell you the story because it's quite a funny story. He sent me, okay, to be fair, we had seen each other out and about. One of my friends was dating his best friend. So I had seen this guy around and I was like, that guy's cute. He's like the, like he's tall. He's not that tall. That's irrelevant. But
that's the defining factor. Honestly, you're like, so that guy over there is tall I'm into that.
Okay, no. So I remember seeing a photo of him and being like, oh, he looks like he'd be very short. And then I saw him in real life and I was like, he's actually tall. I'm like 20 times more attracted to him now.
Also, Kelsey's type is like tall. Tall, blonde, curly long hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much exactly what
it's the complete opposite of mine, apart from the tall. Yeah. It's quite nice.
And also, you like dickheads.
It's just happened to go that way.
I don't like
that
it.
That was an accident.
Yeah. So, and then we matched on Tinder one night and after like just randomly popping up in each other's lives all the time. And he messaged me a bloody gif of Sideshow Bob. You know Sideshow Bob with the Simpsons? Yeah. Him running into a rake and going like, ugh. Yeah, you know exactly what you
mean. I pictured that in my head. I know exactly what you mean.
That's what he sent me. As like,
what a way to start a conversation.
What a way to court someone. Yeah.
I love that.
My reaction to that was a gif of Britney Spears going kind of like, what? Like,
confused.
What? Confused. And then he didn't message me back. So I was like, oh, this dick, like, why would you send me that? And then not reply. Like, that's a weird thing to
say. Have
send
you ever
somebody.
Had a conversation as to why he sent that in the first place?
He was drunk and it was his birthday.
So he just did it because he was like, why not?
He was testing his luck, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so there was no, like, intent behind the Sideshow Bob specific meme?
No, nothing. Oh, he just liked that. He was just like, this is a funny thing to send someone. And it technically...
I actually kind of like that.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I don't know if it's...
Confusing. Entertaining, but confusing.
Confusing with no context. I had no context.
Of who he was, who he is, his humor, yeah.
Yeah. So then I saw him at a house party, and then we kind of locked eyes... Or at least caught each other's eyes from across the room.
We locked eyes from across the room.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. It was more like I looked at him being like, you're that guy that sent me that gif. And he looked at me like, fuck. Now I have to talk to her and explain why I did that. Yeah, and we've been together ever since because clearly we have very similar humours.
Happily ever after from a Sideshow Bob happily. And Britney Spears to now.
Yeah, so that's my dating story.
I love that.
We both come from very different dating backgrounds and we're both in very different positions now. So what, I don't know what to call this. I've called it like millennial dating delights and fuckeries. Mm. But what I want to do is just grill you on the intimacies of your dating life.
Grill me.
You can grill me on mine. Okay. So Bella, as a single, ready to mingle, but previously very monogamous human, I guess.
Yeah.
You, now that you've been on the dating scene for a while, do you think you know what type of guy you're looking for?
What a great question, Kelsey.
Yeah, fucking nailed it.
You're a genius. I think that I am getting to know what kind of person that I'm looking for. I don't think – I don't believe in soulmates, one.
I think we have multiple soulmates.
I think we have multiple soulmates, too. So I don't think there's any right guy for me. I don't think I'll run across somebody and be like, oh, wow, you're actually – 100% perfect and you tick all my boxes. I'm not living in fantasy land. I'm living in reality. That's not going to happen, which is something that I have to train myself being a hopeless romantic and thinking that a man is going to ride up to me on a white horse and whisk me away to my castle, which is what I used to think would happen.
Well, that's like the whole...
Unfortunately, not.
It's like the Cinderella complex. Like we all have this idea that, oh, we're going to find Prince Charming.
It's not going to happen.
Even when you do find Prince Charming, it's not what you expect it to be.
People aren't meant to be perfect. And imperfections can be great in certain contexts. And I think that it's like learning. I think that it's learning to understand what you're looking for and what your non-negotiables are.
Yeah.
That is
non-negotiables.
What I've learned. Huge.
So do you ever feel lonely though? Do you ever wish that you were in a relationship?
Oh my God. All the time. Constantly.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to be like, fuck no.
Does that make you feel better that I said that? Are you expecting me to be like uber confident and just be like, I love being by myself?
Well, I feel like there is a pressure on single people to kind of be like, I've
all
got
in
this,
love with myself,
yeah,
and
I'm
perfect,
like,
and together.
I don't need anybody. I think that goes.
Okay, my concept is that there's a huge pressure on being in a relationship at this age and progressing your life because then you can rent a house, get a cat, get a dog, get married, have kids, go traveling, have grandchildren, whatever, etc. But then if you're in a relationship, you also feel a huge pressure to be single. So either way, I think we're kind of fucked. And I think that for me, I am really happy with myself. I have learned a lot since my last relationship. I'm really happy to be single. I really enjoy putting time and energy into my friends and into passion projects, i.e. this. I really enjoy allocating my time to things that I really care about. And I'm really interested in that, really give me life and make me happy. But of course, there is always moments. I mean, I look at you and I see you and Nathan. It is impossible not to be envious of your situation. But then I think about it logically and based on my previous relationships and reflectively have an understanding of knowing that that's not something that I really want right now. However, in the future, absolutely. So there is, it's just, it's a bit of a balance beam. Yeah. Is my brain. It can go either way. If I'm hungry or tired,
yeah,
you best believe I'm going to feel lonely.
Well, even when you're in a relationship, you can still feel very lonely.
I don't think having a significant other negates loneliness in your life.
No,
ever.
Definitely not.
And I think that that's a stupid like narrative that we're all fed, that you need to have somebody there to make you feel like a whole person. I think that we need to stop communicating this narrative. I think that it needs to stop happening in our society. You are not half a person. You have never been half a person. You will never be half a person. The idea that we're only half of a singular entity and will not feel whole until you find your perfect match is absolutely ludicrous and arbitrary. And well, I think that we are all worthwhile and intelligent. And I think that we should all feel whole within ourselves. Not that we, okay, everyone is a work in progress. You're never going to feel 100%. But I think that you should never feel like you have to fill a gap or there's a void and that you should fill that with somebody else, because that's never going to validate you the way that you can validate yourself.
Yeah, and that also speaks a lot to settling. Well, there have been times when I've even looked at you and your relationships, Belle, and you've been dating people that do not serve you whatsoever. This is the thing. You know when a guy is fully into it and when he's not into it, or not even a guy, a person, whoever it is that you're in a relationship with, you know when they're into it by the way that they treat you and the way, like from the outset with Nathan, it was never a like Netflix and chill situation
or it was never a game.
It was both. It was just two people genuinely interested in what the other person was doing, and obviously there was a little bit more than friends.
Like there was chemistry, you felt that there was something more there, but you were genuinely interested in getting to know one another.
Yeah, exactly. The previous person that briefly I had an encounter with before Nathan, like his idea of like a nice time together was watching soccer for 2 hours and then him sticking his tongue down my throat for like 10 minutes.
I thought you were going to say something else then.
No.
I was like, oh, sweet Jesus.
No, but like that was, and in my head when I was in that situation, I was like, oh, this is what it's like though. This is what dating is. And then I met Nathan.
It is not what dating is.
Yeah, it was like, then I met Nathan and I was like, fuck, thank God I never have to settle for that. I always try and say to my friends, like, you know when a guy's interested or not. You're lying to yourself pretending that he is into you when you know for a fact, like, you wouldn't treat somebody else like that. If they're treating you like that, well, then you know that they're not serious. They might tell you that, oh, no, I'm just busy, or, like, I only ghosted you last week because I had, you know, something
family
come up
stuff.
But now I really want to fuck you, so I'm going to give you some more attention.
I think this whole thing, one of our friends is actually currently going through this. And I think this is a really interesting point and something that we as women deal with quite often. But also, I've been the perpetrator of situations like this as well.
Like, girls can be fuckboys too.
Oh, hallelujah, they can. Absolutely. So one of our friends has encountered a situation like this recently where she's been dating this guy casually for a while. She obviously wants more. He seems to not. And she is constantly creating these excuses and these stories to justify her being interested and to justify her still being a part of the situation that is ongoing. And I think that if you are sitting and creating excuses for somebody, it is obviously not going
working.
The right way.
Yeah, like it's not working.
It's not.
It's not working.
And stop trying to trick yourself into being in a relationship with somebody. If you want a proper full-time boyfriend, then don't settle for anything less. If you want to casually date, don't settle for anything less. If you want to go and fuck every Saturday night with a new guy, do that.
Yeah, but
you
don't
choose
settle
what
for
you
less
want to do
yeah.
And don't lie to yourself about it. Figure out what you want and then work towards that. Because the only person you're hurting in that situation is yourself.
I feel like it's become almost a swear word if you're desperate. You know, it's like a swear
word
now. Oh, you're too clingy. You're too desperate. If you are, though, if you want more in a relationship, then you're allowed to want more. You're just trying to get it with the wrong person. When people say stuff like you're too clingy or you're too desperate, what they're doing is gaslighting genuine human emotions when they're completely justified.
Absolutely.
And if that does happen, well, then it just be like, okay, yep, and then get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, but
find the person that is willing to give you a little bit more time.
Also, side note, just in case anybody doesn't know what gaslighting is, because I said this to somebody the other day and they didn't know, it's manipulating someone by psychological means into doubting their own sanity.
Yeah.
So it's creating a narrative and it's putting the blame back onto somebody.
We crave connection and we crave touch and feeling and to be with other people. That's what we crave. And someone telling you that you're not allowed to feel that way or you're too desperate or too clingy, that's an issue.
And if they're saying that to you, it's probably because they don't want that kind of relationship.
Yeah. And if you do, then... Get out of there. Get out of there. Run as fast as you can.
See you later.
Okay, Belle, I have another question. Wow, we just got tangents. Okay.
Tangents are the best.
Yeah. So do you ever feel pressure to sleep with somebody on the first date?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Not so far, I haven't. I don't think I've been on a first date where it's ended in sleeping with each other. However, my dating life has been random. So yeah. I have, and then also because of coronavirus, I haven't really been on any dates in the last few months either. In the first few dates, I don't ever really feel pressure to sleep with somebody. If I do want to sleep with them, I do. If I don't, I tend not to.
It's your choice.
I don't ever really like succumb to pressure. And I've never really actually felt that pressured from anybody.
That's good.
Because if I start to feel an inkling of that pressure, I usually skedaddle.
Yeah.
And I don't let it progress any further than that because I know that that's not what I want.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's a good...
Did you feel pressure initially when you started seeing Nathan?
Not when I started seeing Nathan, but the encounters I had before him, 100%. And I did, because I thought that that's what I was meant to do.
Isn't it so interesting?
I feel like I was so desperate for validation that I just did it. And also I was... My whole life I've been fed that narrative that that's what girls do, is that, you know, you give the guy what he wants and that you're meant to be okay with that. I know that it's
stupid.
Sorry,
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
Yeah, Bella's visibly rolling her eyes, but that's what, I mean, I've been with Nathan for 4 years. So what, I'm 23 now, pretty much since I was 19. So the relationships I had before him, I was very immature. So I didn't have the knowledge I have now. And now that I've been in a long-term fulfilling relationship where we have nothing but support for each other, we're like cheerleaders for each other, now I look back and I think, like, I can't believe I ever did that shit, because I was craving that sense of validation.
Interestingly, like, for me, the only pressure I've ever really felt when it comes to being a part of sexual situations or exploring my sexuality or doing anything past the point where what I feel is I'm ready for is losing my virginity. But it wasn't from my partner and it wasn't from our dynamic or our relationship. It was more like social expectations that I had been dating this guy for a year or however long, almost a year at this point. And I was just about to turn 16 and all my friends were doing it and it felt like something that I should do. And I have no regrets of ever doing it. But I think that at that time, if I'd have known and been a little bit more self-aware and been a bit more like reflective of the situation that I was in and of other people's expectations of me and not letting them manipulate me into doing something, I probably would have waited a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Just because I was really young and I'm happy that, and I was the luckiest person in the world. I did it with somebody who loved me. I was in a really wonderful relationship. My boyfriend was so kind to me and really understanding, but it's still... You know, it still is something that I look back on and I think of it really fondly because I know how lucky I am. But I still think that although I didn't feel any pressure from my partner, there was so many social expectations to lose your virginity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is ludicrous because like you just do it when you're ready.
Well, I felt like that. I lost mine quite late in life. Not
there
that
is
late.
No,
I was like
early
18.
Or late.
Yeah. Well, I mean, oh, that's... See, I just did
I know,
it then.
I know,
just,
like, but it's hard. It's really hard not to, because we do. We get fed these things where, you know, I say I lost mine when I was 16, just 16 as well, and people are shocked and taken, oh, 16, wow. And I'm like, well, I was in a relationship for a year, so it was a natural progression and I did want to and it was consensual and we had a conversation about it before. And then I hear people when they lose it when they're 20 plus,
yeah.
And then it's like, wow, you waited forever. There's no right or wrong time.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And if I wasn't with my partner, I probably wouldn't have.
It sucks that there's how has that become such a social norm where we think it's okay, that we think that there's like an expiry date on losing your virginity? Like, it's just stupid that that's even a thing.
And it puts so much unnecessary pressure on people. And then this unnecessary pressure usually translates to action. And then people usually regret that action.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's not fair.
This is an interesting question.
I love being interviewed. Yeah. Side note.
Does hooking up sober make you feel like you're giving the other person the wrong idea? Because like we're kind of talking about before, there's this idea among millennials and Gen Zs that hooking up sober is almost like a bad thing.
I think that it might. I don't know. I have always been somebody that's been quite straightforward in like what I
want. Yeah, I feel
like
you're the wrong person. I feel like you're the outlier for that question.
But however, I have always been somebody that has been quite straightforward in like what I'm looking for. And if I am sleeping with somebody, I will be quite transparent with them regarding my expectations and, you know, what I hope out of the situation. However, I do think that you have to be really careful if you are sleeping with somebody sober, especially somebody that might end up liking you, or it might end up growing into more than if it's casual, in a casual context, I think.
Do you feel like if it starts out as like a drunken relationship that it won't work?
No, I completely disagree with that.
Okay.
I think that's an absolute fallacy. I think that it's a connection thing. If you have a connection when you're drunk and you happen to meet each other out on a Saturday night, or you happen to run into each other on a Wednesday morning while you're getting a coffee, it doesn't really matter the situation that it starts. It just matters how it progresses from then.
Do you think you hook up with more people drunk or when you're sober?
Oh, drunk. 100%. Yeah. Because
it's easier. Like you lose that.
You lose your inhibitions. Oh, girl. We had a little brain moment. You lose your inhibitions. You're happy to just explore and go for it and see what happens.
Okay, I have another interesting
question. These are all really, what's the word where they're like pointed questions?
Poignant.
Poignant. These
are, how fun is that word?
Poignant. These are all really poignant questions. I love it. Kelsey's trying to get dirt out of me.
So, does money ever come into play for you? So would you seriously think twice about dating someone if that person was in serious debt? Like, would that matter to you?
I would seriously consider not dating somebody if they didn't know how to handle their money. Look, money for me isn't a factor. It is what you do with it. If you're not making that much, but you love what you do and you're really happy with your life, phenomenal. I'm all there for that. If you're making $1 million and you're a sad, miserable asshole, no, I don't want to borrow of you. This is something that you and I talk about all the time. You have to learn to live within your means, which I'm not very good at, but I'm learning. And you have to be strategic, especially at this age with your money and where you're putting it. And I think that it's ridiculous to be young and to be working towards a future of some kind, whether that be traveling, buying a house, if you want to buy a Ferrari, whatever your hopes and dreams may be. It is being smart and strategic with your money. And I cannot handle people that are splashes.
Yeah.
And that spend money on stupid things and then don't spend money on important things. That is a huge red flag.
Yeah. Is that a turn
off? It's a huge turn off. Oh my gosh. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, once again, never had that issue.
But it's like, it's also the people that you come across in life. All of our friends are happy. They're in their, you know, uni party phase. I'm all happy for that now. But I'm a planner. I like to think semi long term, I like to be strategic. And I don't want to date somebody who every week is scrambling to pay their rent.
I don't think you'll ever end up with somebody like that, purely because
I definitely won't now.
I mean, hopefully, if you're doing it a good way, you end up with somebody that is a reflection of you.
Yeah. And I'm going to make you all vet him.
Yeah, 100%.
Hardcore vet.
I have a superpower, and that superpower is reading people.
She's done this like... My two long-term relationships have been Kelsey calling it from the get-go, and it is so frustrating to hear Kelsey Menzies say, "I told you so." You have no idea. It's not that she needs validation that she was right. She's actually just shocked in herself that she was right.
I'm just genuinely really good at reading people. I've always been a good judge of character.
Who am I going to listen to?
Me. Yes. Always. Always. Yeah, but just like about that money thing. Well, okay, this is the thing. We are growing up in a time when our economy is trashed.
A bit of a shit show.
Yeah, ever since, you know, and now with coronavirus, it's
even more of a shit show.
Yeah, we're going to have to get like an accountant on here to explain it to us properly.
Yeah, that'd be great, actually.
Yeah, but
one that actually knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, economic instability is another reason why we're settling down later. Like, we're hyper-focused on establishing ourselves before we take on anybody else and their debts. Like, I feel like that's a huge priority for us, is that we really want to establish
financial independence.
And most of us want to do that before we meet somebody. I don't want to take on somebody else's bullshit.
No, I don't want to date a liability. That's exhausting.
Yeah, that is exhausting.
And financially exhausting too. My bank account is not ready for that.
I'm the same as you. I don't care how much money you make. I care how you spend the money that you do make.
Absolutely. I care about what I spend my money on. I'm strategic. I try and save. I want somebody that has the same value in their worth that I have. I want somebody that's on the same wavelength with me.
Yeah.
In having fun and going for it when the time calls for it, and then being scrappy when the time calls for it.
How we handle our money is another personality trait that we all have, and we all have a different ways of handling that.
Absolutely. So
it's like, okay, I did psychology for a year. That was one of my degrees that I did. Here and we then go. Didn't do.
Finally, you're using your degree.
I know, it's coming in handy now. The one thing that I took away from that degree, I mean, it's not even a degree. This is what I took away from it. We did, like, I can't even remember what the subject was, but we were talking about the psychology of being in a relationship, not particularly love relationships, but that's what we did cover. The main point that we learned was that two people, if your values don't align, you have a significantly higher divorce rate, and they're core values. And core values could be religious beliefs, things like how you think children should be raised. And another thing was how money should be spent, and they're core values. And if you have differing opinions on core values, then your divorce rate, I think it was something ridiculous. And so you can be completely different people in terms of how you, like Nathan and I, very different people. I am much more outspoken. I am loud. I'm not afraid to raise my voice if I think it needs to be raised. Nathan is not like that. He is very much quiet, reserved. He's not that he's quiet and reserved, is that he's more logical. He will speak up when he needs to, but I will fight any battle.
He's less heated and emotional.
Yeah, I will fight any battle where he will fight the battles that need to be fought. He chooses his battles, I don't. We are very different people, but our values align where they need to align. And I think that's why we work.
I think that's really important. I think that's a really key point when you're talking about dating and relationships, is you really have to be conscious of where you line up. Like, is it just you line up, your personalities match, you enjoy the same things, you have similar interests, or like at your very core, do you match with this person? And I think that that's something that's so overlooked in our society, because we get swept up in the romanticism of new relationships, of dating. We get swept up in the possibilities and the expectations of the future that we don't actually stop to check.
Yeah.
If you actually align where it really matters.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Okay, go.
That is based on being in a relationship. So I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Esther Perel. Have you heard of her? Mm-mm. She's a world-renowned relationship therapist.
Right.
She's written a few books on long-term relationships and infidelity in relationships and why people seek love outside of their relationship.
Saucy.
But she's got a really interesting quote that I love that reflects onto people that are in relationships that I think is really interesting. I have a point of view on it, but I'd like to hear your point of view too. So she says, "Today we turn to one person to provide what an entire village once did, a sense of grounding, meaning, and continuity. At the same time, we expect our committed relationships to be romantic, as well as emotionally and sexually fulfilling. Is it any wonder that so many relationships crumble under the weight of it all?" What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah?
Yeah. What a profound response, Kelsey.
Yeah. Nailing it.
I just think this is a really interesting concept, because we do tend to rely on our romantic partner to provide a lot.
Yeah. I think there's a reason why that lady is a world-renowned relationship expert.
Because she's a smarty pants.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I think I get caught up in it a lot. Not caught up in it. I think it's really easy to expect more than what your partner can give. My sister is, I mean, fuck, I kind of bag her a lot in here, but...
We love you, Storm.
We love you, Storm. She has always said to me that your partner can't give you everything. And it's like we kind of touched on before, you have more than one soulmate, and to expect one person to fulfill every single role in your life is setting yourself up for failure, and it's setting yourself up for heartbreak. So, but saying that, I still do it. I find myself getting...
It's hard not to.
Yeah, it's hard not to. I find myself getting mad at things that Nathan hasn't done. This is the thing. Nathan tries so hard to understand. Like, I've come from a history of divorced parents, kind of ugly upbringing, mental health issues, stuff like that. We come from completely different sides of lives, and he tries really hard to understand where I'm coming from, and he tries really hard to educate himself. And I know that. I know very well how much effort he puts into that. And even still, I find myself expecting more. And I have to work really hard to not...
to actively practice against that.
Sometimes when you're in a relationship, you get into that little bubble where it's just you and them all the time. I think when you're with each other all the time, it's really easy to start putting those expectations on each other. When you actually step out of your life and you start realizing, and not even realizing, but practicing having a life outside of your relationship, that's when it gets so much easier.
Yeah, because absolutely.
When you first start seeing somebody, it's so easy. And I did that with Nathan.
That's why it's called falling in love. Because you fall into a relationship with somebody else.
Yeah, but
which makes sense. But
I wholeheartedly believe this. Your relationship will not work unless you have a life outside of each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And then seconding? Following we'll on go from with that. It. So now that you have been in a relationship for a long time, what are some key insights you can give into maintaining a happy, functional relationship just for those people that are maybe thinking about this or having and some concerns? Just saying, like, this is all Kelsey's point of view.
My relationship, I mean, some people look at our relationship and probably say it's not functional or healthy at all, but I think it is. Look, I'm going to end this on a TikTok by Serena Kerrigan because I think it summarizes what we're trying to say really fucking well.
I'm here to remind you that if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no. If it's a, well, he just got out of a relationship, so like, not ready for a new one, it's a no.
Bella, I have so many more questions to ask you, but we are definitely running out of time, so I think we should continue this next week. What do you think?
Dating part two.
Dating
part two. I'm here for that. Let's do it.
And it'll be less...
get some saucier questions, Kelsey.
I have so many more saucier questions.
Ooh, but okay, cool.
I don't know why we ever thought that we could do like a rapid fire thing. It can never work with us.
It doesn't. Yeah, our brains do not do rapid fire.
No,
our brains
they do like
one rapid
analyze,
fire and then
unpack
and
everything.
Then hop on a train and go to China.
Yeah,
with information.
Yeah.
Anyways, part two. I'm excited.
Part two. Well, that was fun.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Well, thanks for talking to me, and I'll get back to you next week.
Okay. Next fortnight.
Next fortnight. Oh, yeah, true.
Our concept of time is very disastrous.
Yeah.
Also, let's just nail this first take. Follow us on Instagram at 23_podcast.
That's 23 the number, not the spelling.
Hell yeah. Follow us. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify or iTunes. Leave us a review on iTunes if you feel like it.
Please, a nice one.
We'd love to hear your thoughts. If anybody wants to send us any questions that they want to know about dating,
please do.
About our lives or just in general, send them through.
Yeah.
I'm excited to answer some questions. I think that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Let's see how we go.
That was pretty good for us.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Loved it. I gotta stop saying wonderful. Okay.
Goodbye.
Wonderful. Bye.